You're listening to Journals of the Willing from the Tumbling Saber team, a part of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Check us out on the web at starwarscommonwealth.com, on Facebook, iTunes, and Twitter, and take your first step into a larger world.
Hey guys, it's Kyle. It's Friday, so happy Friday. Great start to the weekend, I hope is on tap for you. Just me this week. Steve's got a matter to attend to, so I'll be here with you for a few minutes anyway, just to catch up and talk a little bit about Star Wars books and comics and some stuff that's dropped in the last few days. So the first thing I wanted to just touch on is the Inferno Squad, which I don't yet own. Give me a break. It just came out this week, but I will have it soon. Actually, I wasn't sure if I was going to own this book, but I've seen such near unanimous praise for it that I don't think I have a choice. I think I'm going to have to go out and pick it up and help Professor Wesley Van Wensen. He says he needs someone to talk to about this book now, so although I won't be able to help him immediately, Wesley, I'm going to do my best. But something coming out of that book, I read an article, an interview on The Verge with author Christy Golden, and the topic of gray zone and ambiguity, moral ambiguity, in Star Wars was brought up. And she has some interesting things to say, and it's something that I've definitely been thinking about in Star Wars lately, especially when it comes to the novels. So thinking back to a couple of years ago when we got Claudia Gray's amazing book, Lost Stars, I think it was maybe among the first times, it was the first time for me anyway, of looking at life on the side of the Imperials through the eyes of Thane and Sienna and a bunch of their friends as well, of course. The interesting thing was that, you know, although these were, you know, people that were firmly entrenched with the Empire, we were rooting for them. We liked these characters. They were likable. They were well-meaning people. They just happened to be on the wrong side. But, you know, for the first time in a long, first time in forever, here we were looking at life on the Imperial side going, you know, a lot of these people aren't so bad. And it brought into question the idea of, is the Empire really that bad? And of course, we know the people at the very top of the food chain were the worst of the worst. But for the rank and file down below, the Empire was something to aspire to. It, for a lot of people, it kept them safe and it kept them comfortable, protected from what they viewed was a bunch of terrorists in the rebellion. So no wonder that we end up digging some of these people on the Imperial side. They're just normal people doing their job. But that's kind of been a constant with the novels, especially, is having to sympathize with Imperials. I never thought in my life I'd have to see that, but here we are. Now, apparently this book is going to do the same thing with Iden Versio's squad as they go ahead and root out what's left of Saw Gerrera's clan. And there's another guy, Saw Gerrera and his group, a bunch of extremists, but on the side that we tend to side with. But they do terrible things. Things that you couldn't possibly root for, but we kind of tend to stick on their side anyway, just because we know what side they tend to align with. So I'm wondering, is this good for Star Wars? Is this what Star Wars really needs in its storytelling? And I wonder if they're being very clever about how they roll that out. Is it something that we're going to see on the big screen? So far, and especially when it comes to the original trilogy, one of the great things about the OT is that it's very clear who's good, who's bad. And it's one of the things that make those movies so so classic, so poignant, is that there's just that clear divide. And that tells such a great story of good versus evil. And ever since then, we've been getting a little bit closer to the middle maybe about with people who we're not entirely sure of. And think of the Revenge of the Sith's crawl, telling us that there are heroes on both sides. That was odd. I found that odd then. I still find it odd now. But it seems like there was an inevitable pull to the middle, to ambiguity. And here we are in 2017. And seeing more of it. As far as The Force Awakens goes, I don't think we're seeing much of that moral ambiguity stuff. We're getting characters who kind of sit in the middle. Maz is sort of in the middle, though she's clearly aligned with Leia and the good guys, so to speak. Bendu on Rebels, clearly not aligned with anybody, although he's somewhat friendly with Kanan and Ahsoka. But yeah, I think it's a very interesting question. And I wonder if this ambiguity thing is going to be something that sticks to the page, or is that something that's going to creep its way onto the big screen, i.e. Benicio del Toro character. What's he all about? Is he going to be this gray character, sort of someone who we don't understand his motivations, his intentions, until they become clear? Maybe the closest to him would be Lando. Way back in Empire Strikes Back, we weren't quite sure what his deal was until, of course, he became a general in the Rebellion. So anyway, what do you guys think? I think they have to be careful. I think one of the things that made Star Wars great was the clear delineation of good versus evil. And obviously mixing it up and playing in that spectrum of gray, all those different shades of gray, is good for storytellers, is good for authors who want to have lots of room to play. And it's especially good for anybody who publishes as a business on behalf of Star Wars. It's definitely good for them. And good for, I guess, consumers on our end who want to read and buy as much books, comics, whatnot with the Star Wars name on it. So that's just something that's been on my mind. I think they need to tread a little bit carefully, especially when it comes to the movies. I don't think you want to tinker a whole lot with what's worked so well. Do what you need to do in the novels. It seems like a natural place. Literature. That's where you should probably play around in that gray zone a bit, but use it very sparingly on the screen. Anyway, curious to hear what you guys think of that. Next up, I wanted to just quickly touch on some news that was dropped on StarWars.com on Thursday. Was it Wednesday? I don't know. Had to be Wednesday. Kieran Gillen and Salvador LaRocca taking over the reins of the main Star Wars title as of issue 38 in November. So Jason Aaron's out, and I guess the rotating cast of artists is also out. And although I have no complaints about the art on the main title, as thrilled as I was with Jason Aaron for the first 20, early 20 issues, I think it's time that he step aside and let someone else take the reins. Kieran Gillen has done excellent work with the Darth Vader run, especially with the Volume 2. That is just killer stuff. And I think if you have one guy who's writing both, as busy as this guy is, he might be able to quilt a much tighter story together. So I'm down with this change because Jason Aaron, God love him, he did tremendous work for well over 2 years on the main title and brought us Vader Down and some really cool issues, standalone issues. Last Flight of the Harbinger, I think, was a pretty good arc as well. But ever since, I think we hit the mid-20s and we had that really, in my opinion, ridiculous, awful Yoda arc. And a very underwhelming Screaming Citadel crossover. I hate to say that somebody's out of ideas, but again, I think maybe it's time that he step aside. And who knows, maybe he can come back to it one day or take on a miniseries or a shorter run. But a monthly thing seems to have run its course for Jason Aaron. But anyway, my hat's off to him for sure. He delivered a bunch of good issues and put Star Wars back on the comic book map. So my hat's off to him. So that's just two quick things I wanted to go over real fast. And of course, there's some stuff that came out of San Diego. A bunch of books coming down the pipe on our journey to The Last Jedi. So just really quickly, just zipping through. One of the things that caught my eye was the Thrawn comic book adaptation. Now, we spoke about this on in the Talk Star Wars VIP group, which you should be hopefully listening to this and being a part of that group as well. This really kind of bothers me. You know, this double dip of grabbing consumers for the novel, which is not a trivial expense. $25, $30 for the novel, that's a chunk of change. You know, especially when you ask fans to drop that amount of money 3, 4, 5 times a year. You know, they've got to be carefully considered. And then to come back around and say you're doing a Thrawn comic based on that very same novel, I'm not really cool with that. Now, for someone like me who never bought the novel, because I'm not a huge fan of the character, the comic is maybe a little more appealing, because I won't be double dipping. This will just be my initial run through the Thrawn story, if I go through with it. But I hope this doesn't become a habit. So I'm not rooting for the Thrawn comic sales to flop, but I really hope this isn't something that, if it does well, that Marvel goes, huh, we can do this more. We can take something that's already been written and just adapt it. So Lost Stars, Bloodline, hey, let's just throw that into a five-issue series. That, would be real cheap and pretty low, frankly, when they have so much else that they could cover. Going down the line, there's a bunch of Forces of Destiny stuff coming. And a novel of Canto Bight. I think it's going to have 4 mini stories inside of it. And by mini, they're probably still going to be about 100 pages. By several authors, only one of who I recognize, that being John Jackson Miller. There's also Saladin Ahmed, Ray Carson, and Mira Grant. Unfortunately, I don't know any of those writers, but I'm sure they do good work. And I think I'm going to at least look into this Canto Bight novel. I'm not really a completionist when it comes to the novels, but I like to read as much as I can. And I know we're going to have a full slate come late summer, early fall with the Leia book, the Luke book, the Phasma book, and the Phasma comic. Throw this one onto the pile. Why not? And there's a bunch of activity books for kids that are coming that I'll probably end up getting for my kids and helping them out with whatever activities are in that book. Maybe I'll get myself confused in the process and learn something. But there's also the absolutely everything you need to know about Star Wars, updated and expanded. Now, here's something else that grinds my gears a little bit. This book was just launched a couple years ago, and I don't own it, but I've seen it, and it's a great book. It is, if you're just getting into Star Wars, that book will get you right up to speed with Star Wars and catch you up with all the people, places, characters, vehicles, story points. Everything you need to know will be in that book. But my problem with reference books like that is that every time you get a new movie, a new book will come out. So you might drop $40-some-odd on these books, these reference books, and they're nice books, but once the next movie comes out, that book is now, for all intents and purposes, null and void. And I think that's kind of a bummer. So that would apply to the Atlas book for sure. I know my co-host here on Journals of the Willing, Steve, he's got the Atlas book. And again, a cool book. But now we're going to go to The Last Jedi, and we're going to see Act 2 in more depth. We're going to see Canto Bight. We're going to see Crait. Maybe we're going to, and who knows, maybe that's not all. So now you can expand the Atlas book again with that. So I don't know. It just seems like every time a movie comes out, they're going to republish all these books. Like, when is the right time to buy? Again, for the completionist, that's really frustrating to know the book you bought just a couple years ago is already missing data. And if you're anything like me, you know that as soon as there's a book out there with extra info on top of what you own, man, that's really got to grind your gears, right? So I don't know. I tend to steer clear of reference books like that. I know I picked up, there's one I picked up earlier last year. Oh, the locations book. That was it. Covered that here on the show. And again, it's an amazing book, and it had a lot of nuggets about things that we would love to have known earlier. But, you know, now we're going to, I would bet we're going to get complete Star Wars locations again, this time with Act Two, this time with Crait and, you know, Snoke Star Destroyer. And again, it'll be full of jaw-dropping stuff, but maybe they should hold off on these things and do them once at the conclusion of a new trilogy. Or maybe one for each era of Star Wars, so to speak. Or, you know, 1 through 6 and 7 through 9. I don't know. But it seems like re-releasing it every single time a new book comes out is a little bit much. Or maybe we all just need to have a little bit of willpower. Moving on, there's Star Wars Stormtroopers Beyond the Armor. I have no idea what that's about, but the cover's cool, so I will definitely at least have a look at that. And then there's what's bound to be a treasure, Chewie and the Porgs. Definitely a little kid's book. I've got a bunch of little kid's books that I read to my kids at bedtime. This one I'm probably going to buy multiple copies of, I won't lie. I'll probably throw a Last Jedi party at my house and issue one to every attendee. Just looking at this cover, it just melts my brain. I can't get over this idea of Chewie fishing with porgs. I just can't get over that. Moving on, we've got Star Wars Cobalt Squadron, which looks like one of those young adult lead-in novels similar to Before the Awakening. And it looks like we've got Rose and what looks like probably her sister to her on my left anyway, Paige Tico, and on the right a pilot of some kind. And I'm gonna guess that pilot on the right is the dude we see in the behind the scenes sizzle reel, the one that's falling right down through that it looks like an armaments room full of bombs. I'm gonna guess that's this pilot here. Rose and Finn's Mission. It's like a little mini book. 5-minute stories. That's a great thing to have if you've got kids. And Rey's Journey. Again, I'll definitely have that since I have the one for The Force Awakens. And The Art of the Last Jedi. These are my absolute favorite books when it comes to the reference material. They are just gorgeous to look at. And they are just packed with info, and not to mention terrific art. So I cannot wait for that. I imagine that will come out not too long after The Last Jedi comes out. But that will probably be the first thing I order. Last Jedi Visual Dictionary by Yul Pablo Hidalgo. Who doesn't love Pablo? Actually, lots of people don't, but I like Pablo. I like a Star Wars, his Transformers illustrations too. Cross-sections book, which are terrific. I don't understand how people conceive of all these little odds and ends and parts of these ships. Absolutely amazing. Bomber Command, Creatures and Aliens. BB-8. I got a kick out of this one. BB-8 sitting on a waffle. Okay. I'll see what kind of recipes they can throw at us. Anyway, this list goes on and on. There's a lot of Star Wars stuff coming right before The Last Jedi. And I don't know how much of it I'll be able to get to. Not only for this show, but just for my own. You guys know how slow I am at reading novels. It takes me a couple months to get through one. But we'll see. I mean, there sounds like there's 4 or 5 of them there that are going to drop in a fairly short time. So I'll see what I can do. We'll see what we can bring to the show here to to spoil for you or to discuss with you. But anyway, that's it. Like I said, it's going to be a short one this week, not even 20 minutes. So I'd love to hear from you, just to pretend that this conversation's gone on longer than expected. Let me know what's got you excited about the all the stuff that came out from San Diego Comic-Con. I'd like to, I want to hear what you guys are also expecting from the Luke and Leia young adult novels. I have no idea what to expect from Leia. I know this is going to be her in her mid-teen years. No clue what to expect from that, but it's Claudia Gray, and she has got carte blanche, in my opinion, to do whatever she wants. Her two books, as I was discussing with Professor Van Venson today on the Twitter machine, Lost Stars and Bloodline are number one and two in any order on my list of great new canon novels. And we'll see where Inferno Squad fits in at some point. But yeah, as far as Claudia Gray and the Leia novel, I don't really care what it's about. It could be her peeling wrappers off of chocolate bars or peeling the peel off an orange. I don't care. Claudia Gray will make it compelling. And as far as the Luke novel goes, again, I'm hoping this isn't just filled with nothing. I hope it gives us a lot of insight into what he's been doing, particularly between Empire and Jedi. That's an era for Luke that has been largely unexplored, and I don't know when or how they plan to explore it, but they need to get to it. And I hope we get something in there. And otherwise, I hope we get a little bit of him traveling around with Laura Santeca, exploring the galaxy, uncovering secrets of the Jedi, and maybe even the origin of the Jedi Academy. I don't know which planet Luke set up on, but I'd like in that book that we find out that the Academy was set up on blankety-blank planet, and maybe we see Luke actually found it and recruit his first 2-3 students. Whether or not his nephew is one of those students, I guess that remains to be seen. But that's definitely something that I hope and expect to get from that new oncoming novel. So that's it. Just peaked over 20 minutes. So I hope you guys enjoyed this quick little thing. That's it. So have yourselves a really good weekend. It's supposed to be nice where I am. I hope it's nice where you are. And don't forget, if it's not nice where you are, head over to StarWarsCommonwealth.com. We've got a bunch of great podcasts there, including the new addition to the family, the San Diego Sabres Radio Podcast. Go check those guys out and grab a couple of extra other shows while you're at it. And otherwise, you can find me at Tumbling Saber on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook. Check out my Instagram feed before we get told to take down all the the new shots that were shared, leaked from The Last Jedi today. Some pretty cool shots in there from, I think Star Wars Newsnet got their hands on them. New pictures of Luke, Rey, Phasma, Finn, Snoke, some really interesting shots of Snoke. So go check that out. That's instagram.com/tumblingsaber. And otherwise, I'm out of here. I'm going to go get ready for my weekend. And episode 86 of the Tumbling Saber podcast is coming at you pretty soon. If you have any questions for us, anything at all, now is a really good time to send in those emails, direct messages on Twitter, MP3s, Facebook messages, whatever you're most comfortable with. Go ahead and send those in to me, and we will put them in the show notes. It's pretty light so far this week, so whatever you want to talk about, we'll be happy to kick around. So that's it. Thanks for listening, guys. Let me know what you think, and we'll talk soon.
You've been listening to Journals of the Willing from the Tumbling Saber team, a member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Learn more about the network and its members at StarWarsCommonwealth.com.